Hello and welcome to the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, where we talk about all of the things that help us to manifest an aligned life that's beyond our wildest dream. My name is Megan, and I'm your host for this podcast. I use neuroscience, epigenetics, somatics, energetics, and holistic nutrition to help my clients completely shift their perspective so they can transform their life. To align your life with your dreams, check out my self-paced coaching program that also gives one-on-one coaching support. For just $47 per month, cancel anytime. You can find the link in the description.
Great. So hi, Lori. How are you?
So well. Great to be here. Thank you, Megan.
I'm so glad that you're here. I was really excited when we connected because I love human design. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know a little bit about myself. And I think that it's fascinating because it seems whenever I read it, I'm like, yep, that's me. I can see that. And I know like the first time we did connect, you were like, oh, true manifesting generator form. You're doing like a bazillion things. Always. Like always doing a bazillion things.
So good. Yeah, so true. I feel like it's kind of like this cosmic permission slip. That's what I like to call it, you know, for oftentimes things that we make ourselves feel badly about. And then just to realize like, oh, that's actually how I'm designed to tick. So it's not that there's not, you know, always room for growth, but it's just nice to be seen and kind of validated in that way.
Mm-hmm. I really love that. I think too, as a manifesting generator who is always doing a bazillion things, I'm like, do I have like ADHD? Is there something wrong with me? Like I'm always going from like one task to the next, but like I handle it well. And then also it's just like, we're women. So we do right. That. But it's like, that's like literally in my design that I'm just always doing something and that I can switch back and forth to doing different things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And manifesting generators are all, you know, one of the components of that energy type is finding efficiencies for the rest of us, you know, like making those leaps and skipping steps and then circling back around when necessary to, you know, attend to things that you may have missed that you didn't know or didn't realize the first time. But, you know, that fast pace like allows you to develop efficiencies where the rest of us don't necessarily have them. And then you can share them, which just helps everybody. Such a good thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, especially for somebody like me who creates an online course and then it's like, okay, so I tried it this way and, you know, this is my method. And as you do it, it's so true. It's like, oh, you know what? I missed a step. I'm going to go back and like put that in there. But for me, it's like, just get it done, like do it, go through it. And then you can always go back and pivot and change and adjust things. Right?
Yeah, I love that. So one of the ways, so manifesting generators are like a hybrid type, right? You're the only hybrid type. So you've got a little bit of manifestor and a little bit of generator. And it took me kind of a while to really notice some of the difference between manifesting generators and generators. And when I first learned about generators having that sacral energy and, you know, the same like creative life force energy that manifesting generators do, I kind of assumed that they're just like go, go, go all the time, you know, really fast paced as well. But what I've learned through experience and just meeting a lot of manifesting generators is that it sort of tends to be more of a like tortoise hare kind of situation where the manifesting generator is like darting around, you know, doing all the things back and forth and eventually, you know, makes it to the finish line. Whereas the generator is much more kind of methodical, just like slow and easy, you know, almost like has to get a momentum going in order to like hit a stride and like really start to like, you know, jut forward. And I think I, as a generator, have that tendency to go, go, go all the time. I have like enthusiasm in spades. And I also have, one of the like gate 34, which is a very like it's probably one of the more powerful gates in human design in terms of like that energy and getting things done. It comes right out of the sacral, and a lot of manifesting generators have that connected directly to their throats. And so it just, I think it just speaks to the, like the difference a little bit between those two types and how you can both have that sacral creative energy, but how it kind of, you know, it looks a little different in the different energy types. So yeah, it's cool to hear you explain about the course, you know, and just how you're actually living that design.
Yeah, that's amazing. I wanted to know more about how you got into human design, how you found that, and how it has like personally helped you by finding out your type and all the different things, like there's the south nodes and the north nodes and all the things. Like, how personally have you felt that finding human design has like changed your trajectory of where you were to like how you live life?
Yeah. So, you know, 5 years ago, I was teaching. I left my career of 26 years in teaching, and human design definitely had a big part in that. I loved what I was doing, and I still have, you know, such a special place in my heart for education and teachers doing the work. And I was in a lot of like school change efforts and whatnot. And I like to, I feel like there's the one moment, you know, we can oftentimes look back at that one moment, that sort of shifted things. And for me, it was, I was in a meeting with our administration and, our school counselors, and we were planning for the following school year and like looking at the schedule and what, you know, how might things shift for next year. And we were coming out of the COVID year, and during that year we had done a lot of really innovative things. We had changed our approach, we had completely shifted our schedule, we had changed how we group students, and those changes like really lit me up. I was really excited about, you know, kind of feeling like, okay, if something's going to change education, like this is going to be it. And during that meeting, the decision was made to go back to the way, you know, things had whatever functioned before, basically adopting the schedule from past years. And I just felt my sacral drop. It was such like a marked feeling in my body. And I was like, oh, like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And, you know, after teaching for 26 years, I was like, what the, you know, like, okay, now what? So I had started already to lay the foundation without really kind of knowing it or being aware of even what was happening. But I had started to just like dream bigger, think bigger, wanting more things for myself, wondering like how I was going to do that with a teaching salary and the schedule that I had. And so I had taken a course on manifestation. Human design was part of it. And I'm a 5-1, which is to say that I go deep. I learn all the things, you know, that's part of the one line. And so I just, yeah, I did like a really deep dive, and I studied it, self-study. And then I also did Katie Irvine's HD school, highly recommend. She's amazing. Then I was just like, okay, I'm going to try this coaching thing. And, you know, I really want to be able to still help people. When I was in the last couple years of teaching, I was working with a lot of seniors doing capstone work and talking about what's next, what's after high school. And a lot of the work that I do now is similar in that, you know, I'm a lot of my clients are kind of trying to figure out like, what's next, or something's missing, you know? And so that's how, that's kind of the story behind how I landed where I am and what I'm doing with what I'm doing.
I love that. I have a similar journey, and I think anybody in this industry, in this world, like you just kind of wake up one day and you're like, what the heck? Like something new comes into your world. It's like one little thing that's just like comes into your world and you literally change everything. And so I'm a 4-1. So that would make sense that like I dive deep into everything too. I actually discovered like neuroscience and neuroplasticity and being able to like change your habits and stuff. And I tried to find out how I could do that by myself. And there's like nothing that tells you how to do techniques unless you're actually certified in it. So I listened to a bunch of podcasts and I was like, okay. So I found a course that would teach me and I became a certified mindset coach and in NLP and that sort of thing. But I really just wanted to coach myself at the time. I'm also a florist, so I'm in the wedding industry and I run a floral business. And I wanted to just like take that to the next level. But I was like, well, I don't really want to hire a coach because I just want to like be able to hire myself. Like I had hired coaches in the past, but they are really more of a mentor or not even a coach. They just told me what to do. Like, do this, do this. It wasn't very coachy in like the look inside yourself and find the answers kind of thing, right? So I just felt like the advice didn't really suit me. And so I was like, I'm going to coach myself. So I did that. I became a coach. And then when I learned that, I was like, I cannot do this to myself. Like I have to teach other women this because it's life-changing. Like these techniques literally change your life. And as much as like human design is too, I imagine like once you actually know and you have like a plan set out, it's life-changing because all of a sudden you do things differently and you show up differently. And we actually learned a small amount about human design in our course as well. Nothing like crazy, but that's where I was first introduced to it. And I was like, this is such an interesting concept. Like all the things that we were never taught that we could just have easily known and like the world would be so different.
Mm-hmm. And I love, you know, you're talking about your certification, you work with NLP, and I feel like human design gives you the map. You know, it shows you like, here's how your energy is meant to work. This is like how you are designed to show up. And when you look at it and kind of contemplate and discover where you're out of alignment and what, you know, why am I not behaving that way? Why am I not doing those things? That's where it couples so beautifully with some of the tools that, you know, and, you know, just other healing modalities, NLP, breath work, you know, hypnosis, like all of those things make such a beautiful combination, I think. And human design gives you some language to be able to speak to like specific pieces in yourself that you want to address. You know, there's a practicality to it as like woo-woo as some people might think it is. You know, it's actually, I feel like, a very practical approach to just being able to map out like, okay, how am I supposed to function here? Like how do I thrive in this life? You know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that it's a map, exactly. Especially if you've ever seen like what a human design map actually looks like. It is a map. You know, there's like all the different lines and it tells you everything you need to know if you understand how to read it, which is why working with somebody like you is going to help, because you're going to tell somebody exactly how their map works and how they can use that. Like you don't have to know what everything means because you can work with somebody who does. And then using the tools, to dive in deeper and using hypnosis. Hypnosis is my favorite. Like, I love writing hypnosis scripts and just doing hypnosis. I think it's like one of the easiest tools because you just have to sit there and like listen. You just have to be open-minded and listen. You don't have to think about anything. You just have to like feel and be open. And so I love that. Yeah. And just energy in general, I think we underestimate as people, which is so funny because it's literally science. Like we're all made up of atoms and atoms are moving particles, which is energy. Like this whole world is made up of energy, but then people will call it woo woo. And it's like, it's literally science. Like how can you like call that woo woo? But you know, anything that was like beyond the realm of like a patriarchy is woo woo because we're all witches. And this is a conversation that we had yesterday at my podcast guest, but it's just, you know, if it's not traditional, but like, what is traditional? Because what were our ancestors doing thousands and thousands of years ago? Because I can guarantee you they were much more woo-woo than we are, you know, celebrating the land, mm-hmm. and understanding the different elements in our world and using them in different ways. And like, there's the Farmer's Almanac, which literally uses the moon and tells you when to plant things and what the seasons are going to be like, just by like looking at the sky. Like, it's not woo-woo. It's like, this is what people have been doing for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. We are all witches. I'm on board. Oh, yeah,
absolutely. And it's like, so I grew up Catholic, and it was like, it didn't resonate with me when I would hear that, like, oh, people are witches. But like, as I'm digging more and more into this, like, I'm letting go of that programming of being like, that's bad. It's not a bad word. People have made it bad, right? Like, it's, witches are not bad. Witches is a word used to describe healers and people who honor the earth. Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting whole other conversation, but it's,
yeah, right, another yes. rabbit hole.
It's yeah, it's just something that, you know, if we could all just be more open-minded, all of this would actually make sense. Like, if you could just put aside what you think you know and listen to all of the things that other people have to say and the way that they see things, and you don't have to believe them right away, but just enough to say, okay, I'm willing to listen to you, is so opening for all the opportunities and possibilities and paths coming your way. But if you're somebody who is just like close-minded, and you say like, nope, I don't believe in that, like, that's garbage, well, then how can you ever change the path that you're already on, right? We need to be open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're making me think of a few elements of human design too, just in terms of that mind and that openness. You know, if you have definition in your mind, so a quick like little learning point here about human design. So it, one of the systems that it incorporates is the chakra system, right? And there are 7 chakras, but in human design, there are 9 centers, we call them. And so energy centers, and the head and the ajna, or the mind, are 2 of the centers that are, you know, up top here. And having that defined mind, having definition there. So if you look at your chart and it's colored in, then you have definition there. And it might be a little more difficult for you to entertain ideas that you don't already subscribe to, you know, and that's part of who you are. That's part of, you know, how you're meant to show up. And a lot of times when you have a defined mind, you'll be really certain about your opinions and about your beliefs. And it what you need to be aware of is, in sharing those, you know, understanding that, like you said, sometimes there are different versions of truth, you know, like what's true for you might be not true for somebody else. And so learning how to like recognize that your defined mind is at play when you are, you know, either kind of being unswayable or really stubborn about your opinion or whatever, you know, versus people who have a lack of definition there. If they have an open or undefined mind, they tend to be literally a lot more open-minded and a lot, you know, just sort of open to other ideas, open to other perspectives. And the flip side of that can be that, you know, they have a hard time making up their mind or sticking to one thing, you know, because they can be swayed. And I know for me, that is my, you know, my part of my chart is having an undefined ajna or mind. And I always kind of, you know, that's something that I used to beat myself up about, like, oh, well, you know, I can always be convinced one way or the other, depending on who's arguing and who's doing a better job of arguing it, you know. And now I realize, like, it's also a gift to be able to, like, adopt and see other people's perspectives. And then when you're outside of their energy, decide for yourself, like, what feels true to you.
I love that. I feel like any coach is going to have like that undefined space, because I think like in order to right. see your clients and the world that they see, because each and every one of us has a different truth. You could have 10 different people looking at the exact same thing, and we all have a different version of it. And so to be able to see your clients with an open mind and not make up what they already are or have done or are going to be, then you have to be able to be swayed and to say, oh, I see where you're coming from. Like, I can see why you see that. You know, here's my outside perspective, but like, I understand why you see things that way or why you do things that way or why you're afraid to go and pursue this or whatever it is. So I think that is really eye-opening. Like, I could not imagine my chart would be defined in any way, because I'm always, I say all the time, like, I live in the gray zone. Like, you know, there's people who see things like it's black or it's white, and that's what's caused so much like division in our world. But there's like the gray zone, and it's okay to be in the gray zone and to see sides, like see points from both sides and agree with like more than one thing. Like, I don't think it needs to be personally defined, but I understand where that comes from, when it's like literally part of who you are to have. It was really fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. And you made me think of another thing, which is sometimes I work with coaches, with like other coaches, and we do sort of like a consultation. So, you know, we run their client's chart, and then the three of us get on a call together and we kind of look at it. And I think it's helpful. It can be used then as a tool for that coach who doesn't necessarily have the expertise in human design, to then again go back to that mapping and like have that language to talk about the specific places in their chart where they need, you know, assistance in aligning themselves. And it also like offers an open perspective for them, you know, if they do have more definition in their chart as a coach. But I think you're 100% right that the majority of coaches have a lot of openness in their chart, because openness is an indicator of like places that you can exchange energy, and you build wisdom in those centers because you don't have that consistent energy there. But you're able to like identify it, and you have learned from it. So then you can also coach from it, if that makes sense. So, the openness in a chart, I think, is as much of a gift as the definition.
Yeah, I love that. So I would love if you could do like maybe a little rundown on all the types of human designs, like manifesting, generator, projector. I mean, just so that people listening could be like, hey, maybe that's me. Or if they go and do their profile, so they can fill that out on your website for free. And they can learn a little bit more about what their just main kind of design is. And then obviously there's so much more involved, but.
Yeah. It's super multifaceted. You know, there's like human design is a mix of the chakra system, astrology, quantum mechanics, genetics, the Kabbalah, the Chinese I Ching. So there are a lot of systems coming together, and it's a beautiful thing, and also it can be kind of overwhelming. So one of the places that people usually start is with those energy types that you're talking about. So there are five types. Basically, that just means like every human on the planet is one of these five types. And those are manifestors, generators, manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors. And they're basically, your energy type is basically how is your energy meant to function in this world as a whole. What is like your aura type? So your aura being that energetic field that projects out, you know, side of you roughly 6 feet. You know, how does that kind of play and interact with other people in the world? And even just knowing your type can be such a game changer. Like we were talking about earlier, learning that you're a manifesting generator and that you're meant to be multi-passionate. You're meant to multitask and have like a million things going on. You're meant to look for efficiencies. That is part of your design. A lot of times manifesting generators can get sort of a bad rap for being, quote, flaky. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but that's sort of some of the conditioning that can come for manifesting generators, because sometimes they start things and they don't finish them. You know, they quote, flake. And really that can lead to a lot of just self-doubt and questioning, like, oh, why can't I ever finish things? Or why can't I stay committed to one thing? And really, it's because of that energy type within you. You are just designed to actually try lots of different things. And the ones that are meant to, like, stick are going to stay with you. You know, they're the things that you're going to have the energy to finish. And the ones that, you know, are just here to, like, teach you something and then move along, great. So I like to use, I have two manifesting generators in my household. I'm married to one, and I have a son who's a manifesting generator. And they're both very different, but, you know, one of the things that is similar about them is that they have lots of interests, you know, that, like, they both have lots going on. And my son, for example, you know, he has tried so many different, you know, sports and activities and ways to move his body. And, you know, some stick, some he started when he was young, and he's just, like, picking them up again now and finding interest in them again. So yeah, it's really just about kind of getting comfortable with that. I also find that manifesting generators, a lot of the ones I know, tend to be really intense in one way or another, which is a beautiful thing. But their aura is actually warm and enveloping, because it's like a generator aura. So that's manifesting generators. They are roughly 33% or so of the population. So quite a few of you roaming the planet. And then we can talk about generators, which are about 36% of the population. And just as an important aside here, generators and manifesting generators together make up 70% of the population. So knowing that is really, really helpful. Because if you are one of those 30% who is not a generator type, then, like, you are living in a generator world. And that has a lot to do with the fast pace, with the, you know, creativity, with just the action happening in our world. It's really related to this energy type, because manifesting generators and generators have a defined sacral center. That's essentially what makes a generator type. So that defined sacral is creative powerhouse, creative life force energy. And it is go, 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 do, 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 make, you know, make this thing. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's also really important for manifesting generators and generators to be doing what lights up that sacral. So what does that mean, like, being lit up? Building a relationship with how your sacral communicates with you as a generator or manifesting generator is so important. And I like to encourage people to practice with simple things. So one main tip for generators and manifesting generators is that it communicates in yes or no or this or that. So for example, don't ask me where I want to go to dinner tonight. Ask me if I want to go to Indian or Italian. And then I'm going to listen. I'm going to, like, feel into my body. Your sacral is roughly 2 inches above your navel. I'm going to feel into that place in my body and see, do I feel like an expansiveness or like a bubbling up, or do I feel some kind of movement? Lots of people, you know, have different experiences of how it feels. So that's why I say I really need to build a relationship with this. But in general, it's this expansiveness. You might find yourself moving towards something, literally, like your body leaning in. And so when you activate that sacral, then you're able to like literally let your body make the decisions for you, which is intentional. Like that's what human design teaches us as well. But so for generator types, this creative, you know, sacral energy can be used, and we have lots of it. Like we can work really hard and get things done, but the trick is we're really meant to do the things that like light up that sacral. And if it's not lit up, there's this saying, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no for a generator type, right? So really focusing on that and working hard to say no to things that don't like feel that way for you. And I say it that way because I recognize that it's difficult. And so I encourage you to just start with the things that you have agency over. You know, so you can start to build that relationship with your sacral. But generators, that warm, juicy, enveloping aura, and they are really magnetic. They're meant to literally attract things to them. So the whole idea of like attraction marketing and whatnot, when generators are doing the things that light them up, they attract the people who want to work with them, for example. Same with manifesting generators. So 70% of the population there. Then we have manifestors, who are only about 9-ish% of the population. And they are here to be the fire starters, the initiators. They're here not to ask for permission, but instead to like blaze new trails for us. And their auras are actually closed and repelling. So I think of their auras oftentimes as like a really strong exercise ball that's just like around them, and things just kind of bounce off, except for those people who are meant to get through. And the thing about manifestors is, being only 9% of the population, they often feel misunderstood. People don't get them. And they can really struggle with that. And I just, any manifestor listening, I really just want to tell them, and I hope they hear that, you're not meant for everybody. And those people who are meant to get you will get you. And there's just like a certain solace in understanding, like, it's not because there's something wrong with you, or you're communicating the wrong way, or whatever. It's really just you know, how your energy affects other people. When you walk into a room as a manifestor, people notice. They just take note. They can feel that big energy. And so it's just like learning to work with that and building the confidence to know that you are here to start new things. You're here to have unique ideas. And manifestors have like this direct link almost to, you know, universal intelligence, where they just get like intuitive hits to do things and then run it through their authority and then take action. The easiest, the path to ease, I would say, for manifestors is informing people. So just think of it as like narrating your life. Tell people what you're doing all the time, even when you think it's annoying, even when you think it's unnecessary, because the rest of us will just have, will feel so much ease after hearing, you know, what you're doing. And because manifesting generators are part manifestor, part generator, I would also encourage manifesting generators to use that informing technique. You know, I know, again, using my two examples, the two people in my family, when they let me know just what they're up to, it's so much better. It goes like, I just feel this like sense of, you know, calm and like, okay, great. I know what you're up to. And it's just, it's not the same, feeling with my projector son. You know, he's like, it's a different kind of feeling. So Highly recommend the informing strategy for manifestors and manifesting generators. All right, we've got those three. Now we've got projectors, who are about 20% of the population. Projectors are heroes, our guides, essentially. So if we think about manifestors as the initiators, getting things started, fire blazing, you know, trailblazing, fire starters, the projectors come in and help guide the generators and manifesting generators to build. That's sort of like we're all meant to work together. And so projectors are here as our guides, and they have often a lot of openness in their charts. And so they tend to be pretty highly sensitive people. And, you know, sometimes they can come across as like a bossy pants or demanding. But it's the thing about projectors is they usually know better. And that's sort of their gift, is they have like this big picture view, and they can just see when something is not working. They can see it so clearly. They think it's super obvious, and they want, you know, they want to communicate that. And so the trick for a projector is that obviously not everybody is always ready to hear when what they're doing is not working or what they're doing is not, you know, healthy. And so there's an invitation component that really needs to happen for projectors, where people recognize their expertise, they recognize where they're coming from, and they invite them in based on what they know to be true about, you know, them as a projector. Like, oh, I know you're really good at this. Would you mind helping me? Versus the projector saying, dude, don't do that. Like, that's just stupid, you know? So that's projectors. And then reflectors are the fifth type, and they're just 1% of the population. So very rare breed. And when you look at a projector's chart, it's completely open or undefined. So none of the centers are colored in. So highly, like the most sensitive of types, because they are constantly taking in other people's energy and exchanging it. And their auras are sampling, essentially. They're like, they kind of just go around consistently, like taking little pieces from their environment and the people around them, and passing them through. And they have a very strong connection to the moon and the lunar cycle. So they're really meant, it's a special kind of connection with reflectors. And they are meant to be our cosmic mirrors. So if manifestors trailblaze, projectors lead, generators and manifesting generators, the reflectors are here to like basically just show the rest of us that kind of the health and well-being of the environment and how things are going. So, you know, if you have a reflector who is really struggling, the first place to look is the environment, the people that they're around, etc. Because they're taking on that energy constantly. I want to back up one second. I forgot to mention with a projector, their aura is it's actually penetrating. So projectors, they can really see you deeply. Like sometimes it can feel like you're standing naked in front of a projector. You're like, even though you know, it's just this sense you can get around them. But it's such a gift. And it's similar with reflectors, because they literally are mirroring you. So anyway, those are the five energy types, and it's a great place to start, because like I said, once you kind of understand how your energy is meant to work in the world, then you can start sort of thinking about how you are functioning. And I'll tell you that a lot of us function like manifestors, where we're initiating things all the time and We aren't necessarily supposed to be doing that. Actually, the vast majority of us are designed to wait for some kind of response. Like we are designed to wait for things to come into our awareness, into our world, and then respond to them, which happens in lightning speed, especially now. But we're not meant to like go out and start, you know, start things out of the blue. So, all right. I hope that was
helpful. Was so helpful. It was very, very insightful to see all the different types and how they kind of connect to each other and how, you know, we're all, even though we're all different, we're still all one and we're all here for like one greater purpose and to help each other. And, you know, we all serve a purpose in this world, and it's just trying to not be who you are and not somebody else, right? Like, it's like when we're trying to do, if you're a manifesting generator, but you're trying to be a projector, like it's not going to work. You know, if you're trying to be like that person, so that's just not who you are. So if you can connect to who you are, understand, like look at your map and then put that out there into the world. And I was kind of laughing to myself when you're talking about starting new things and not finishing them. And I never, like, yeah, that's me, like 100%, but not in a way that I've ever felt bad about. I just, like, you know, it's like a pivot. It's like I start this and then I'm like, no, I don't really like that. I'm like, I'm pivoting to find out what works best for me. Like, I'm finding what lights me up. And I can't say that I've ever actually like felt it in my sacral area. However, if I do not want to do something, like I won't do it. And even if they're like tasks that need to be done, I'm like, I'll start it and be like, hey, well, it needs to get done. And then I'll be like, you know what? No, I'm just going to pass this along to my VA. Like, she can handle it. But I'm going to go do this instead because like this actually, like, I like it. And I have a VA who can do this instead. So if I don't want to do it, I just don't. And like, it's a good and a bad thing because like in life, there's things that sometimes we have to do that we don't want to do. But like, I just, I'm like, I don't want to.
So one, I'd love to speak to that idea of like doing things that you feel like you have, you know, you have to do, right? Like, let's say laundry, for example. So there's something called a signature and a not self theme. And every type has these. And for generators and manifesting generators, there's this idea of satisfaction as our theme, as like sorry, I think I said satisfaction earlier, but satisfaction is the signature for generators and manifesting generators. And so it's, you can think of it like, what is going to lead me toward satisfaction? What will I feel satisfied having done? So maybe I don't love to do the laundry or fold the laundry or do the dishes, but when that is done and I see like no dishes in the sink, or I see like all of the laundry is put away and everybody can find everything, that feels really satisfying. Or if I have this thing that I'm creating in my business, you know, and I'm working on something and it's a long, you know, it's kind of a slog. There's like, it's a longer term project. If I can envision the satisfaction that I am going to feel when I finish it and just really lean into that, like, feeling, that helps you kind of through when it is a little bit harder, you know? And I think it's folly to assume that you will every single moment have that like excitement about everything. It's more of like acting on that as an indicator. You know, it's your first indicator, go this way, you know, do this thing. And then, you know, as you get into it, it may get hard. It may, you know, it may challenge you. But if your sacral, you know, is kind of giving you that information, that's an important thing to really listen to.
I love that. Actually, it's funny because whenever you say things, I'm like, yep, that is me. Like, I'm already doing that. And so it's like the things in my business, I'm like, I have the end goal of where I want to end up. And like, that's what's like top in like center of my mind. And like, that's also, you know, when it comes to manifesting, it's like having that goal, that end vision of what you want. And then everything else just like falls into play. And so that, and then with like the laundry or whatever, yeah, it's like, okay, picturing the house clean. So in NLP, there's actually a technique, I lost my train of thought there. There's a technique called the swish pattern technique. And so you are essentially thinking of the identity that you want to have and like swishing out the old patterns, old behaviors, old identity and swishing in the new identity. And it's kind of along that same line where you're like really thinking of that end goal. Like, who am I? Who do I want to become? Like really leaning into it, feeling into it, you know, feeling all the feelings, seeing all the things, and then taking the stuff that you no longer want. So you can literally just like take on a new habit instantly because you've taken on the identity of the person who has those habits. And so it just made me think of that in general when it comes to like becoming who you want to be, is just thinking about that end goal and everything else just kind of falls into place.
Oh, so true. So true. So good.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, you said something earlier that I would love to touch on. So you said you're 4-1, right? Okay. And you talked a bit about like wanting, as soon as you learned the techniques and whatnot, you were like, I have to go like share this with people, right? And so I just wanted to kind of make a point for you that that is your 4 line. Coming through, and it's such a great thing. So the 4 line, this is your profile. It's there are numbers 1 through 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and it's a combination of 2. So everybody has 2 numbers. The first number is the conscious side or your personality. The second number is your unconscious or your design side. And so for you as a 4-1, we talked about the 1 a little bit, which is like the deep diver, the researcher, it's foundations. It's making sure that that you've done the research and you feel, this is the folly sometimes, feeling like you don't know enough, but you do know enough because you are the researcher and it's just built into how your energy functions. And then the 4 line is like the master networker. It's like building community. It's getting out and talking to people and sharing your, you know, your genius with people. Oftentimes, I just talked to a 4-1 yesterday, and he was saying that he's never applied for a job. Like, jobs always come to him through some sort of networking. You know, people end up asking him, you know, if he would apply for a job, and then he puts in his materials or whatever. But it's like he never, you know, that's classic 4-line energy. And so if you, you know, if your audience like has a 4 in their profile, like really thinking about how you can leverage that and work with that natural energy for yourself to like, you know, if you've got a business, where can you create community in your business? How can you, you know, focus on working those connections in order to, you know, get to your goals, you know, in order to accomplish your goals. So I think it's just beautiful that, you know, you've got that 4 and you're sharing it with your community. But I'm curious how, like, in what other ways has that 4 kind of flavor shown up for you?
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I mean, I'm here doing podcasts, connecting with people. And it's funny because that's one word, like, you know, you choose a word every year. Like, that's one that always pops up for me is community, and wanting to build a community, not just like, I don't want to be somebody that people just listen to and follow. It's like, I want to hear other people's stories and to genuinely connect with people. When I first moved here, I'm from Ontario, so I'm up in Canada. And I moved from Ontario to British Columbia, so like the other side of the country. And I started connecting with people via Instagram because, you know, bless social media in certain ways. And I just started to like make a point of like replying to people's stories and like asking questions like over and over again. Like, I was doing that, and we ended up like forming this group of people. We go out for dinner and we do things, and they're all people that kind of connected on Instagram, but like I was the one that brought us together in person, was like, let's go for dinner, let's do this, let's do that. And I think that's really cool that that's like literally part of who I am, because I am that person that like connect people together, and yeah, build like a community. And I've never had a problem doing that. Like, I've always been that person. So I think it's really beautiful. And then in my business itself, it's like, it's having the people who are in my programs or having my clients, but then encouraging everybody to connect together and to support each other. Because even though you're sitting there thinking like, oh, I have this problem, but I don't want to ask the question because it's insignificant or it's nothing or it's silly. And then someone else is like having that exact same thought or concern and nobody is sharing it. But if we can share it, let me see that we're all in this together. We're all going through the same things. And if we actually were just like more open with each other and put ourselves out there to be vulnerable with each other, like the connections that you would build, the support that you would find without having to do anything, like you would just naturally find support because it's out there and available if we could just, again, open up and, you know, be ourselves and feel safe to do that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So good. So good. Yeah. Oh my gosh. What you're talking about reminds me of something I was reading in Amanda Francis's book. And she just talks about how when you're manifesting something, there's sort of like a little time delay, right? It's like what you're experiencing in the now is what you were manifesting, you know, a little while ago, yeah. Right? And so as you sort of have to live in this like weird time warp where you're being your new self, and it might be in your current, you know, circumstances, but you just have to trust, right? And keep with that new self and that new identity in order to like bring the rest of it into your reality.
Yeah.
So that's so cool.
Absolutely. It's like so that cool. Like embodiment, right? So it's like working backwards. It's like, if this is who I want to be, well, what habits does she have? How does she show up? What doesn't she do anymore? And then starting that. Like, you're not going to get to that version of you if you don't start today. I say, you know what? I really want to have a clean house. And that's the version of me. She just goes around and cleans her house all the time. Well, if I say that I want to be that person, but then I look at my floor and there's like laundry all over it and I don't pick it up, well, then I'm not getting to that person. But if I consistently start picking up my laundry that's on the floor, I'm already starting to embody that version of myself. And then, you know, I don't leave dishes in the sink. And it's just like starting to take on the habits and behaviors of that person. That version of you is the embodiment. Like, I used to think embodiment was such like a strange concept. Like, I wanted to learn so much more. Like, people who teach manifesting, they keep saying like, embody your higher self. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I don't know what it means to embody my highest self. Like, it was such like, you know, like the coach talking that people would say. And I was like, I don't know what it means. And it's like actually so simple. It just means like being the person that you want to be, taking on the actions of that person and not waiting and not delaying. It's like, if this is who you want to be, well, you can't say I'll start tomorrow because you're delaying who you want to be. But if you actually just showed up as that person right now, it doesn't have to be all at once, but like start with one habit. And then when you get that down, like start another one and just start working towards that. And if there's certain things that you can't do yet, well, then leave those for a little bit later and start with the other things.
100%. Tie that in a bow. Yeah. Nice little package. With it.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, so where can everybody find you and how can they work with you?
Yeah, so my website, great place to start, is LoriLeeside.com. You can get your free chart there, and I'm also on social media. So I have, I've been writing a little bit more on LinkedIn lately, but I'm also on Facebook, Instagram. I have a few things on TikTok and YouTube, but I haven't, been super active there recently. That's sort of one of the markers of my design is, I have to really be in the mood to like do specific things. So, but you can definitely find me on those channels.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah. And I will put all that in the show description so that everybody can find you easily. And it was amazing. I had a really good time chatting with you and finding out so much more and like diving deeper into things. And, I definitely want to chat again with some more detail because I think that it's so insightful, not just for me, but like for everybody to kind of see how it plays a part
and what it means and how people move forward with that.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Well, thank you so much for having me, Megan. I really, really appreciate it. It was a great conversation.
It was. Thank you so much for being here. And I'll talk to you later.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Goodbye.